Welcome back, Cincy 360, ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station, a service of our good friends at Cincy Shirts. When everything was transpiring Monday night, and I saw the tweet from Joe Dannemann that they were administering CPR, that they had used an AED, it immediately shot back into my mind a conversation that we've had so many times on Cincy 360 over the last couple years with our good friend Bob Mangine, who is joining us right now on behalf of the Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation. We were able to have an event earlier at the University of Cincinnati. We get the golf outing each and every year. We're raising money for such an awesome cause. Bob, I appreciate you joining us for a few minutes today. How are you?
I'm good, Tony. Thank you very much for inviting me on today and talking about a very, very critical issue that affects athletes, oftentimes not in a good way. But, you know, hopefully in this case, our prayers are with the Buffalo Bills and their player, and hopefully everything will end up being okay.
Tell me about the situation with Matthew and what went about, what you guys are trying to now accomplish at the Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation so that we can tie it into what we saw on the field on Monday night.
Well, let's take it, you know, let's look at what transpired on Monday night, and that, you know, everything is still pretty much speculative. Nothing has really been confirmed. He's doing fairly well right now, although he's still in critical condition. But if you watch the play really closely, you can see how he takes a shoulder pad blow right into the middle of the chest, and that has a name called commotus cordis, which basically causes an electrical change in the heart, and it can cause ventricular fibrillation. And again, it's all speculative, Tony. We don't know for sure. We don't know the surrounding circumstances. More importantly, once the event occurs, regardless of the cause, you saw an immediate response by the Buffalo Bills training staff, and, you know, my hat's off to how fast they responded in terms of getting an understanding of what was going on the field, of getting him treated right away, and then getting him transported. So, you know, the whole thing, you know, the NFL is so organized, and they have we've played in how many NFL stadiums over the years where we look at their emergency action plans that are hanging in their training room, and they're so in depth that, you know, if this happens, you know, here's the process that you go through. And so I think that, you know, again, they were prepared, they responded quickly. So your first thing is you got to recognize what's going on. Two, you have to immediately implement treatment. You know, my understanding is they did provide a shock with an AED on the field within a very reasonable time frame. Again, we don't know the specifics, but again, that's, you know, that's critical. By 21 years back, especially, you know, you can remember when you played and we were at camp, how many times we had kids who would have issues and we would have to respond very quickly.
Right.
And I think in the last 21 years, I've probably opened the AED three times, and thank God I've never had to actually use it, because our kids responded, you know, very well, very quickly. So we never had to actually put the AED on. You have to have that AED with you. If you go on social media, the number of trainers that are just blowing social media up on every platform about, you know, have that AED, have your emergency action plan. And probably the most critical thing, I know they do it in the NFL, I know we do it at the collegiate level, we practice it constantly, so that when that event happens, it's almost, you know, reflexive. We're going to do this, 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 and this. You know, we practice it as much as we can to make sure that should an event happen. And you saw like clockwork how it progressed on Monday night, you know, on the field.
That to me was the most amazing part, because to me, I saw him stand up, and then I saw him, he went back down. So I immediately thought concussion, because we've seen that in the NFL a lot, where guys are just dazed, they lose their balance, they go back down. When you saw the urgency at which the training and medical staff came out, just talk about how important those, we're not talking about minutes, we're talking about seconds. And I'm thinking of a football player, he's got shoulder pads on, he's got his jersey, there's a lot that has to happen to then be able to administer CPR, to use the AED, you're talking about seconds that can't be wasted, not minutes at this point.
Correct. You know, I mean, it's pretty well known that, you know, we try to get that AED on within 3 to 4 minutes from the time we have an episode. Now, when I watched the replay, and I saw immediately he took a blow to the chest and he stood up. You know, I've been doing this for 50 years. Basically, the way he kind of fell and the way his arms reacted, my first thought was cardiac.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, it played out that way. But the Bills staff, God bless them, their medical staff is really phenomenal. They recognized it with, as you say, within seconds, so that they could get him in a position where they could start the CPR, get the AED out there. And of course, at NFL stadiums, you have to have that emergency room doctor who is an airway expert. You've got to have your EMTs there. You know, all told, there's like 27 medical personnel at almost every, you know, NFL game, because that's a requirement. And over my years here at the university, for example, you know, when I first came back here in 2002, it was basically, you know, two trainers and you know, six student trainers and, you know, maybe a primary care doc. And over the years, remember going to camp out at Higher Ground, we had an EMT. We had West Harrison Bark every day. And God bless them. I love them. You know, I would tell them, you guys give me a feeling of security, because if something happens, you're right there with the crash cart. You're right there with the ambulance. We're able to get you transported to University Hospital, you know, extremely quickly. And over the years, we've used them probably 6 or 7 times where, you know, as we've had athletes go down, we've been able to get them transported and have them in UCER within, you know, 20 minutes.
So I'm watching this all play out and I'm following along, and it's reported that they were able to regain the pulse, but he wasn't able to breathe on his own. So now that he's been transported to UC, what are the signs that these doctors are looking for? I've heard him talking about the oxygen levels and how much he was able to use, and he's progressing in the right way, or he's making the next steps that he's needed. What are the signs? What are you now looking for from a recovery standpoint to kind of cross off the next hurdle for DeMar Hamlin?
Well, again, you see us many times carry those little clip monitors where we put them on the finger, looking at the O2 level throughout camp. And in other times, I actually carry one in my pocket 90% of the time, even at basketball practice, because I look at that O2 level. And, you know, as I said, in 20-some years, I've had 3 cases to where, you know, we had cardiac issues that we were able to get transported in time and have a positive outcome through the whole process. So you want to make sure you're establishing an open airway, which is why the NFL requires an emergency room airway doc on the field so that they can continue delivering oxygen, because, you know, when you're in that situation, you could end up having a decrease in your oxygen O2 output, and then all of a sudden you end up with potential brain possible damage. But again, you know, we're not sure what's going on right now over there or where he's at. But, you know, these are things that we've experienced over the years over here at the university. And, of course, we changed our structure, as you know, after the Jordan McNair issue at Maryland, to where we have – I think right now in athletics, we have 17 AEDs. We have trauma bags for all of our staff to have at every venue, and we travel with them. And it all sort of really ramped up to where, you know, it's not just these cardiac issues, but when we get into the summer camps, you know, it's the heat issues, the heat stroke issues that really affect the kids, because, and you've been there when you've gotten dizzy and you've gotten lightheaded, you've gotten nauseated, and eventually, even in a heat condition, that'll affect your heart, because the heart has to change its rate pattern in order to respond to a heat condition. And you can go into AFib, you know, in a heat condition. And when that happens, you got to treat the heat condition, but you also have to treat the heart condition. And again, what you saw was a tremendous response the other night. But what about the poor high school kid or the poor rec athlete?
That's what I wanted to finish with, is because you're talking about all the personnel that's at the disposal at an NFL level or at a college level. The high school levels, they don't have that luxury, or the rec level, they don't have that luxury. So immediately my thought went to what you guys are getting done and working to get done with the Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation, which is provide these high schools with the technology and the teaching and the equipment necessary. We're not talking about an injury. We're not talking about an ACL. We're talking about life and death. And it's now the mission of the Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation to ensure that this equipment and the knowledge is at the disposal of these high schools that would never have that before. Tell me the Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation. It's very simple. The Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation.org. There's a donate button right there. But just what the foundation is doing to help at the high school level.
Well, Matt and Kim, and you know those two, they are really on a mission right now with making sure they can help as many high school and rec programs as possible. And in essence, after Matthew's passing, they decided to start the foundation in order to raise money and awareness to, one, provide the emergency equipment to high schools that they may need, from, you know, cold tubs, AEDs, airway systems, because the athletic trainer at the high school level is still the number one person that has to respond. And to respond correctly, they need the support of administration. They need the support of the parents. They need the support of the coaches. And they need the equipment so that they have an opportunity to have the best outcome possible. So the kids' mission has been to provide AEDs, to provide educational services, and they've gone beyond. There's a couple schools that have gone, you know, beyond in terms of Kirkland right. High School. They've done K-10 training to the student athletes themselves. They've done the K-10 training to the coaches. They've done the K-10 training to the medical people, so that, you know, everybody's a stakeholder in this, and everybody has to participate in the educational process of preparing, because no matter how many times you practice it, when it happens, you've seen my behavioral pattern when it's happened at camp. You've seen my behavioral pattern when it happens at games, in terms of we have to be auto-reflexive. You know, when you see this, you're going to respond by doing that. And you saw that on Monday night with that training staff and the medical staff. They were just really outstanding with making sure that they took each step necessary to make sure they saved his life. And the bottom line is that, you know, we need to get that down to the high school right. level. And that's where, you know, donations come in, go directly toward emergency equipment like AEDs, goes toward training of the individuals who are going to be providing that care. And parents need to ask. So if I'm a high school parent today or a rec parent today, you know, I'm going to ask, you know, what is my high school doing, or what is my rec center doing yep. to make sure that if my, you know, student athlete has an issue, how fast can you respond, and how are you going to respond, and where's your emergency action plan? And that's where you've met Marty McNair, Jordan's father. You know, Marty wrote an unbelievable book about, you know, what should parents ask, and, you know, what is the value of the sports, and what is the program you're sending them to going to do in an emergency situation? So I think, you know, the kids are on a mission to make sure that they increase awareness. The only thing that bothers me the most, Tony, is you can see the NFL has made significant changes.
Yes.
You know, when Corey Stringer passed and you have the Corey Stringer Institute, look on record how many other NFL players have suffered the same outcome as Corey Stringer, and it's just they're not there. When Jordan McNair passed and the NCAA finally got mm-hmm. firm about it and started to take more steps, you know, we've had better outcomes.
Right.
The states that run high school programs have to wake up, yep. pass laws that have some teeth to them, but more importantly, have somebody monitoring and make sure that they're compliant. And until that happens at the state level or the federal level, you know, on an annual basis, you lose 15 to 30 kids between the age of 15 and 20 to this same Komodo cordis, because it happens in Little League Baseball, where the third baseman gets hit in the chest with the ball or the shortstop, and they don't have AEDs there. And it's shown that if you put an AED on, your survival rate is 50-50.
Yeah.
If you don't, you have some issues. So the more the states push this out, and they have to put some teeth behind it, then I think we'll lower our overall, you know, bad outcomes in athletes when they have these issues.
Yeah, it's there at the NFL level. It's at the college level. And we saw firsthand Monday night, this is life-saving equipment. It needs to work down to the high school level. It's the Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation.org. You can donate. You can learn more, see all the events that are coming up. Bob, I appreciate your time and shedding some light on a very unfortunate situation, but a situation that could have been made worse if not for the fast action and the same equipment that you guys are working for at the foundation to provide in high schools. I appreciate your time as always, buddy.
I appreciate you, Tony, as always.
Yes, sir.
And remember, your foursome is already guaranteed
Boom.
Next year at the golf outing.
That's all I needed to hear, Bob. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
There he is, Bob Mangine from the University of Cincinnati, Matthew Mangine Jr. Foundation.org. Awesome stuff there. Let's take a break, finish up, when we come back. Cincy 360, service of Cincy shirts on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.